Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Welcome to church. I'm so glad you guys are here today. You know, normally Pastor Bob and I don't preach together, but for the month of July, we kind of wanted to shake things up, do things a little different, and we decided that we were going to come up here and just share with you guys some things that all of us are dealing with, all of us have dealt with at one point or another in our lives. And we've been talking about, like, for example, the first week, we talked about how to effectively walk through trials, the trials of life, effectively walk through it. I mean, you're going to go through trials. You can go through it ineffectively, or you can go through it effectively. And the way that you do that is you don't see yourself as a victim, but you see yourself as a victor through Jesus. Amen. And then we talked about, what do you do when you feel unappreciated or unnoticed? You know, you feel like they're not appreciating what you're doing. And what do you do with that? And that the one thing that stuck out in that sermon, I hope it stuck out for you guys, is that what is unseen by people is oftentimes the most significant thing to God.
Oh, man, that was so good that week. Whew, that was good.
And then last week we discussed how to deal with anger in a healthy, godly way. And this week we're going to talk about, why is God so slow?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to wait. I don't like to. I'm going to admit it. I don't like
Does
to
anybody
wait.
Here like to wait?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I didn't think so.
I was going to say, because you holier than me. I don't like to wait, and I especially cannot stand to wait in the doctor's office. If I have an appointment early, like if my appointment's 10 o'clock or earlier, I need to be seen on time. Because you know what? I know what they're doing back there. If they don't see me on time, that's too early in the morning for some kind of emergency situation to have come up. You know what they're doing? And the reason I know this is because I used to work in the hospital. And this is what they're doing. Just a little intel. The drug reps bring treats in the morning. They bring bagels and coffee because, you know, they're just kind of schmoozing the doctors. And so you know what they're doing back there while I'm up in there waiting, wasting time, TikTok? They're having coffee and bagels and they're chatting it up. And you know what? That's all nice and everything, but don't be doing that on my
job. Now, I hope we don't have any nurses or doctors in here.
Yeah, so,
sorry about that, y'all.
You know I'm right. You know I'm telling the truth up here. But actually, I mean, you know, get your bagels, do your chit-chat, but don't do it on my time. I need to be seen. I need you to call me at my time because I was here, right? I don't like waiting. I just don't like to wait. And you know what? I know that it's especially hard when we're waiting on God, right? Like, that's a hard thing. And I know some of y'all here have been praying and believing and waiting on some things from God, and it's hard. It's hard to do that. You know, maybe you've been praying, you want to get married, and you've been praying for God to bring the right person into your life. And you've been waiting and praying, and it's just not happening, right? Or maybe some of y'all are married right now, and you're kind of going through some stuff. It's hard. Things are rough. You're not on the same page. And you're praying, you're asking God, God, can you do something? Can you make this work? Can you fix it? Or maybe you've been praying to have children. You want to have children, and you've been praying and waiting, and you're wondering, God, where are you? Do you not hear me? And you're starting to think it's not going to happen. Or maybe you've been praying for a healing. Whatever you've been praying for, when God doesn't answer it quick enough, it starts to make us wonder if he even cares. Yeah. Is he listening? Does he even care? Well, if that's you, then I've been praying that this message is going to encourage you today. And you're going to walk away encouraged.
Amen. In fact, can we just pray together right now? Heavenly Father, right now, we surrender our mind, our will, our emotions to you. Father, push us out of the way in these next few moments and speak through us, God. Heavenly Father, open up all of our hearts so that we can receive your word today. God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you want to show us today. Speak to us today, Father. Change us from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I think at one time or another, We've all asked that question. Why is God so slow? What is he doing? What is he up to? Why isn't he answering my prayer the way I want or right away? You know, I can't say this for sure, but I think Jesus may have wondered that too. You see, Jesus knew what his mission was. His mission was to come and bring salvation to this world. And yet his ministry on this earth didn't start until he was about 30 years old. Do you know that? There's a time in Scripture when he went to the temple when he was 12 years old, it says, and he began to teach everybody about God in the temple. But there was a lot of time between 12 and 30. I wonder if Jesus wondered, when is my ministry going to start? He already knew what it was. He knew why he was here, and yet he had to wait. So let me tell you, if you're feeling impatient while you're waiting for God to move in your situation, you're in good company. Jesus knows how you feel, and there's so many others in the Bible that had to wait too.
That's right. You know, you think about King David, right? King David, David was anointed king when he was about 15 years old, but yet he didn't take the throne until he was 30. That's 15 years that he was waiting to be able to do what God had called him to do in his life. And he wasn't the only one. Look at Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, God promised them that he was going to have children all over the place, more than the grains in the sand of the earth, right? And they waited 25 years after that promise before they had their promised son waiting.
You know, even the apostles had to wait. After Jesus was resurrected, he told them, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, I want you to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. There was a waiting. Friends, waiting on God is just part of the deal. It's just part of being a follower of Christ.
Yeah, but you know, waiting, it still makes you wonder, like, what is God doing while I keep having to wait? Right? So look at Isaiah 64:4. This is what it says. It says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him.
Wow, that's good.
Isaiah 64 is telling us that God is working while we wait. It says, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him.
So good.
While we wait, God is working. But what's he working on? Did you ever wonder that? Come on, God.
What is he working on?
What you doing? Well, he may be working on it. Yeah. You know, some of y'all are wondering, God, what are you working on? Well, he may be working on it, that thing you've been praying for. You know, I think about back to when I was dating, when I was single. You know, I was a single mom and I was dating. I wasn't dating like that, y'all, but whatever. And I don't know if y'all know this, but Pastor Bob and I met online. We met online on a dating app.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Hey.
So don't be judging nobody, okay?
Don't be judging now.
But let me tell you why. Okay, here's the deal. Both of us were career professionals. We were working 50, 60 hours a week. I mean, and we had kids. We were parenting, right? And we were single parents. So, and I had this rule. I don't know about him. I can't speak for him about this. But I had a rule. I didn't date people I worked with.
I was the same way. I was the boss at work, so I really couldn't do that.
Yeah, that would have been a little sketchy.
That would have been bad.
But anyway, I didn't date people from work. And at church, I mean, I went to a really big church in Houston at the time. But it was like, nothing there. And I'd been praying and I'd been waiting. I was like, God, okay, the desire of my heart is to be married again. You know, I want a godly man, a man that's going to love my children as if they were his own. I want a godly man who loves you more than he'll ever be able to love me. I was praying for that and doing what I could do. And the only other way I was going to meet somebody, I wasn't going out to the clubs, y'all. That was the past. I wasn't doing that. So the only other place that had an opportunity was I used to volunteer for the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo for many, many years. I was on a rodeo committee. And the only other place was to meet people there. And I can't even.
Not so much.
I can't even tell you about the guys I met at the rodeo. That wasn't going to happen. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go online. Maybe that's a bigger pool of fish, right? And it was. It was a way bigger pool of fish. But I dated people, but I never felt like God brought the right one. Like, they just weren't the right one, okay? And so after a few months of, you know, just kind of whatever, dating, doing whatever, not dating, I was online one night. I'd just gotten home from church, and I was online. I was scrolling, and I came across Pastor Bob's profile, right? And I was like, oh, Lord.
And, oh, Lord.
And when I read his bio, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is what, I mean, and, you know, people say they're a Christian, but no. The words he wrote was very clear to me that this is a follower of Jesus. And I looked and I said, now, y'all gotta think back 20 years, okay? And I was like, man, you know, and then I thought, here's what happened. Something really weird happened. I thought, oh, you know what? He's never going to want to talk to me. And that was so uncharacteristic of me, okay? I am bold. I am not shy. I don't hold back. I mean, I've never had a problem going up and speaking to people and thinking, yeah, man, I'm all that a bag of chips. I've never had a problem thinking like that. And the first thing I thought of when I saw his profile was like, this guy's never going to want to talk to me. And I was like, okay, fine. And so I just blew it off, y'all. I didn't even reach out. Kept on going out, doing my thing. I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to meet somebody. Me and my friend had a little code. You know, 15 minutes in, page me, tell me when.
Oh, y'all remember pagers?
Yeah.
Pagers, yeah.
That was back in there. It was a long time ago. Anyway, I kept on dating, and I kind of basically gave up on it. And I said, all right, God, I'm gonna do what I can do. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get a few free meals out of the deal, and I'm just going to give up. And I did. Y'all always going to get honesty from me, okay?
Come on now. We're going to give you the truth.
I'm not trying to play. So I just gave up. And then something really wild happened. A few months after I first saw his profile, he reached out to me. Hey. Yeah.
Hello.
I was like, God, what are you doing? I see you. What are you doing? What's up with this? Well, you know what? It makes me laugh now, but I didn't know that at that time, God was working on him. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about me. It was about him. God was working on him, getting him ready. And as we talked about it years later, I mean, he was actually going through some healing at the time.
Yeah.
He still needed some healing from the divorce, and he needed some restoration in his life. So he wasn't ready for all of this.
I don't know if I'm still ready for all of this, but 18 years later, I don't know if I'm still ready for this.
But seriously, God knew that Pastor Bob wasn't the man that God had planned for me at that time. It took a little bit longer because God was working on it. And you know, here's one thing I wrote, and I want to make sure I say it right. God was working on him while I was waiting on him.
Ooh, did y'all catch that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're in a waiting pattern because God is still working on the thing that we're waiting for. Think of it like that.
And when we're waiting, God is most definitely many times working on it. But other times, we're stuck waiting because God is actually working on us.
Yeah.
He's working on us. We aren't ready for what we're asking God for. Whatever you're waiting for, there's some things you're really just not ready for yet. You know, it reminds me of the movie A Few Good Men. We have any Few Good Men fans?
That's a good movie.
Have anyone here, if you're young enough and you have not seen that movie yet, it is a classic. You must see this movie.
It's a Tom Cruise movie. It's good.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. Come on, good stuff. But the final scene of the movie has Tom Cruise playing Lieutenant Caffey, who is a Navy attorney. And he has this Marine colonel on the stand, played by Jack Nicholson, who was Colonel Jessup, was his character's name. And so Tom Cruise's character is just hammering him. He's saying, I want you to tell me the truth. And when you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. I want to know the truth. And all of a sudden, Jessup, on the stand, literally screams, you can't handle the truth. Yeah. Huh. Sometimes we can't handle what we're asking God for.
Yeah.
And God knows it. Yep. We're waiting because God is actually working on us.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're asking God to give you more money. You want to be able to do things with this money. But God's saying, what are you doing with what I've already given you? What are you doing? How are you stewarding the funds I've already put in your hands. You know, I had to learn this one the hard way, y'all. For many years in my younger life, I struggled with managing my money. And I kept, this was one of my go-to prayers. God, give me more money. God, give me more money. Man, I must have prayed that thing a zillion times. But what I didn't realize at the time is that God wasn't going to give me the money because I wasn't ready for it. He was working on me. I needed to put him first in my life and in my finances. And back then, I wasn't doing that. Back then, I wasn't doing that. And here's the thing. When I finally got it, when I finally started to faithfully give and tithe back to God what was already his, that is when everything changed. From that moment forward, everything changed. Because God, once I demonstrated to God that I could handle what he was already placing in my hands, then he was ready to give me more.
You know, maybe you're not asking for more money. Maybe your thing is you want increase. God, promote me, move me up. You know, you're asking for more influence, you know, to be able to influence more people. And, you know, God might be saying to you while you're waiting, I want to do some more work in you. I want to mature you a little bit more. I don't want your talent to take you places that your character is not going to keep you.
Oh, man.
God may be working on you.
Y'all, hey, we're seeing that, unfortunately, in the church world. Yeah. We're seeing that in our world. How many people are the unfortunately, reached the superstar status, but their character can't keep them there?
Yeah.
And it's because they bypassed this.
Yeah. When you're asking God to give you more influence, I'm going to say that again. There are a lot of times that he doesn't want to take you somewhere with your talent that your character is not going to keep you.
So good.
Just because you have the talent and the skills to do something, you know, you think you're ready, God may be working on you, and he may be saying, no, I need to grow you up a little bit more.
He's actually protecting you. He's actually protecting you.
Yes. You know, years ago, I knew in my heart that God had called me to preach, right? I knew it. He was very clear the way, and I remember exactly when he told me, exactly what I was wearing, what I was doing. It was very clear when God called me to preach. But yet, it wasn't happening. Years went by. Years. I mean, and this is what I did, and I hope this encourages you. Instead of just waiting for him to say, okay, here's the mic, go ahead, I served him. I just served him.
Amen.
When I was single, I got involved in the single parent ministry at the old church, right? And then after I met Pastor Bob, he and I started leading small groups together, blended family small groups, because we were going through some stuff.
Ooh, were we?
And sometimes you go through stuff, God wants you to help lead others through it too.
That's right.
It's like you lock arms and you do it together. Jesus, here we are, help us, right? Well, we did that. We led small groups for many, many years. And as we showed ourselves faithful in that, God gave us more. He said, okay, well, now I want you to coordinate the small groups. I want you to train up other leaders and develop some curriculum. Show them how it needs to be done, how to faithfully do this. And we did that. Years went by, y'all. And I'm like, hello, is this ever going to happen? And I kept thinking, it's maybe I didn't hear right from God. But it wasn't until I was asked to speak at our old church that it's like the Holy Spirit showed me. You weren't ready yet. You weren't ready yet. I needed to go through some more refining. I needed to go through even deeper heartache, more trials, harder struggles, because that is when God was teaching me how to lean on him for everything, everything. You know, you got something to say?
Yeah. I read this one time, and it has always stuck with me. It said the very first thing any Christian should ever get used to seeing is the sight of your own blood. What do you think about that?
That's good. That's deep.
The very first thing you should get used to as a follower of Christ is the sight of your own blood, because it's going to cost. Just like Pastor Karen's talking about.
Yeah, you know, you think about it when you're a little kid, or maybe you have a little kid, they fall off the bike, or they fall when they're running and they skin their knee, right? There's blood. They went through something. There's some blood there. And you know, when I was in the waiting period for many, many, many years, y'all, decades, not decades, but decade, at least 10 years, I was waiting. God was refining me. He was bringing stuff into our lives like you cannot even imagine. Deep trials, hard stuff. And you know what? I just want you to know, if you're asking God for more influence, you need to expect to have to go through some stuff.
Amen.
Just settle it right now. Amen. Settle it in your heart. It's just going to be part of it. You're going to have to go through some stuff. You're going to have to go through a lot so that you can grow a lot.
Amen. That's good.
Before God promotes you. It's the way it is. Look at Isaiah 48:10. Okay, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he's saying, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of afflictions. So if you think about silver, when they're refining silver to get the impurities out of it, they put it through a fiery furnace, and the dross, the impurities rise up to the top. Well, Isaiah is telling us, and God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, telling us that our furnace, the way God is going to get some impurities out of us, is going to be through trials, amen, afflictions, right, through waiting. Because God knows that before we're ready for what's next, we got some growing and some refining to do. Amen. Sometimes God does something in you before he will ever do something through you.
Absolutely. You know, and the reason for that is, listen, if God just gave us what we're asking for, just lickety-split, you know, what I like to call the ATM God, you know, say, give me this, and he just spits it out.
Yeah.
Number one, there's a good chance we're going to mess it up.
Yep.
Okay, there's a good chance if we're not ready, we're going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, there's a good chance that then we're going to forget who gave it to us to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? Because we start saying, well, I did this and I did that. We get into the mistaken belief that we did something when it really is God. And that's why we need to have the mindset that God's got to do some things in us before he's going to do something through us. Not only that, but remember, and we talked about this last week, God wants us to depend upon him for everything.
Yeah.
He wants to teach you and I to depend on him, and that's not something we would normally otherwise do, right? But he wants us to do that, and he's doing something in you in that process.
Yeah, it's all about us depending on God, because we can get full of ourselves real quick. I've seen it before. You guys have seen it where, you know, even people in ministry, they, oh, well, I got this, you know, and they forget to bring God into it. And what happens? You know, sometimes we got to go through that refining and that growing, because this is usually how God works. Like, it's just how he works. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that. But the truth is, we have to get used to it. We have to learn to be okay with it, because waiting is actually part of the Christian walk, y'all.
Amen.
It just is.
Amen.
So the best thing to do is not to waste the waiting.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't waste the waiting. A waiting season isn't a wasted season if you continue to seek God, press into him, get to know him more. And I know this is way easier said than done. You know, you're waiting. You've been waiting a long time. I know people in this room have been waiting a long time,
amen,
for some things, and it seems like God's nowhere to be found. I get that. I've been waiting for some things.
Come on.
But look, it's easier to wait when you don't waste the time.
That's good.
Think about painting a house. You paint the house, you're going to sit there and watch that paint dry? No, you're going
to
go do something else. And it
move
makes
on to
it
the
go
next
by
room
faster. When we use our waiting period as an opportunity to get closer to God, to serve him more deeply, it grows us. It allows us not to waste that waiting season.
It allows us to serve God more deeply. You know, you know, think about it. What does a waiter do in a restaurant? His job is to serve you, right?
Yep.
That's what we need to be doing while we're waiting on God. We need to just keep serving and let God get some stuff out of us, right? And maybe get some stuff into us while we're waiting.
That's good.
While we're waiting.
Getting some stuff into us. I like that. Yeah. Getting his word deeper in our heart.
Amen.
You know? When I was waiting for God to promote me, to bring me into what he called me to do, I mean, I didn't know it then, but I know it now. I mean, if I had the attitude then that, oh, you know, I've been called to preach. God called me to preach, so I can't be greeting people. I can't be dealing with those children in next gen. I can't be doing all. If I had that attitude, God didn't call me to do that. If that was my mindset, I'd probably still be waiting, y'all.
That's right.
So instead of saying, no, I'm not going to do that, that's not what God called me to do, I cleaned toilets. I cleaned up the lobby and the church I was going to after service. I did anything I could find my hands to do in God's house.
Amen.
And the other thing I did is I started really pressing into God. I started reading my Bible, writing sermons. I have books full of sermons that I've written. Now, they're probably not good, but I've
seen some of them. They're
I actually have a friend. I told her, burn all the journals. When I die, I burn them all.
No, there's some good stuff in there.
But I mean, that's what I did. I pressed into God. I read the Bible. I read scripture. I read commentaries. I tried to learn all I could about God. Maybe I need to learn his word more. Maybe it's not what I think, you know? And not only that, I put into practice all the things that he was showing me as I sought him. I put it into practice. I just spontaneously started encouraging women at our church. Hey, you know, God would show me things. That's the thing. If you don't waste the waiting season, God will give you eyes to see.
Amen.
Always ask
Amen.
Him, God, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Because he will highlight people to you that you specifically are uniquely set apart to sow into them.
That's right.
And while I was waiting, that's what he did. I just started encouraging women. I started praying with people, random people. You know, God would put them on my heart, go up and say, hey, can I pray for you? And I was mentoring young women, and this stuff went on for years. And then one day, God said, okay, now it's time. Let's go. Friends, the waiting period is crucial to your growth as a follower of Jesus. It's crucial. You cannot skip through it.
Amen.
You can't.
Amen.
You have to learn to wait well. Develop in your waiting time a deep pursuit of God. Let him show you some things that you didn't know before while you're waiting. I call it waiting with intention, right?
Amen. That's good.
Look at what Isaiah says in 40:31. Isaiah, by the way, is one of my favorite. It's actually my favorite book of the Bible, Isaiah. Isaiah is so full of hope, and it's such a beautiful book. And what he says in 40:31 is this. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Wait, think about an eagle. Eagles soar really high. They soar way high up in the atmosphere that other birds can't handle, right? Think about that. It says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is the first thing you notice about this verse? They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on God are in the process of renewing their strength.
Yes, that's good.
You're learning to endure while you wait. Think about a marathon. Okay, I've never ran a marathon, but think
we have
about
any marathon runners in here? Anybody?
Let me look at y'all. Y'all
no,
marathons
okay.
Up in here.
All right.
Anyway, think about it. That is endurance, right? You have to endure, but as you endure, you get stronger, right? After you've endured, you've gotten stronger, you've built up some resistance, some endurance. And James chapter 5 talks about this. He says, endurance is a chance to strengthen our hearts.
That's good.
When you endure some things, that's an opportunity to let God strengthen your heart. And then James goes on to say that those who have endured are blessed.
Amen. Amen. That's so good.
When we wait on God, pressing in closer to him, serving him despite how we feel, despite wondering whether or not it's ever even going to come to fruition, waiting, what we're waiting for, despite wondering if that's ever going to happen, that's what the process of strengthening your heart looks like.
Let me tell you, on the other side of that process, there's a blessing.
Yeah.
On the other side of that process, there is a blessing. Remember this. Just because God feels silent, just because God feels silent, doesn't mean that he's absent. Just because you can't see him all the time, he's still there. You see, God never changes. God never
Amen.
Changes. He's still the God of the universe while you're waiting. So while you're waiting, God's still in control. God's still sitting on a throne. God's still the God of this universe. He is still working. Right now, even though you can't see it, even though you may not sense it, even though you may not feel it, behind the scenes, God is working. In fact, there's a beautiful scripture, John 5:17. Jesus once said, "My Father is always working, and so am I."
That's really good.
Wow, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
He may be working on what he's about to give you. It's just not ready yet,
yeah.
Right? That may be what he's working on. Or he may be working on you. There are some things that God wants to burn off of you so that he can bless you.
That's really good. Burn off of you so he can bless you. You know, you think about a glass of water. If it's full, you can't pour any more in there. There's some things in us that God needs to work out so he can pour more into us, right? You know, maybe you've been waiting to be married, and it seems like nothing's happening there. You're praying, you're dating, you're waiting. Well, maybe you're not ready yet. You might think you're ready yet, but maybe you're not. I mean, if you've gone out and you've met all these really great people, but yet you keep finding something wrong with them, is it because they're not checking off all your boxes? I was guilty of that, y'all.
Come on. Just remember, God's boxes may be a little different than yours.
Yeah. You know,
just think about that.
I'm not saying it's you don't need to have standards. I got standards. Everybody needs to have standards because God's a God of excellence. He doesn't just, he wants us to want better and more. He wants us to do better and to do more. It's okay to have standards. But if you keep finding something wrong with every single person you've gone out with, they may not be the problem. You know, God may be saying, nah, you know what? He's got a little bit of pride in there. I need to work on that a little bit more. He's thinking a little too highly of himself. And if I bring her into his life now, he's going to mess it all up.
I mean, I know you want that raise at work, but maybe you're not ready for that raise right now. Yeah. Look, you already haven't been giving back to God what's already his anyway. Maybe God wants to get you to a place where you will trust him with every part of your life, including your money. Do you know that Jesus talked about money over 100 times in the Bible? If you don't think money's important to God, it is. Yeah. He doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. That's the issue. Whatever, though, you're waiting on, whatever you're waiting on, lean into God while you're waiting, because that's when you're going to grow. Yeah. That's when you're going to get to know God on a deeper level. And that is when you are going to increase your faith.
Yeah.
Hear me. God loves you. Yeah. He loves you desperately.
Yeah, he does.
God is not ignoring you. His silence is not a sign of ignoring you. Mm-hmm. He's not neglecting you. The Bible says God knows every hair on your head.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this, he hasn't forgotten you.
That's right.
God has not forgotten you. His word says, I will never leave you or forsake you.
That's right.
Listen, maybe it's just not ready yet.
Yeah.
Maybe what you're waiting for just isn't ready yet. Maybe you're not ready yet. And God's still working on you.
You know what? This is a hard one, y'all. Maybe God is not ever going to answer your prayer the way you want him to. Maybe it's not going to happen.
There are some prayers like that.
Yeah. I mean, you're asking him to do something, and maybe he's just not going to do it. We have to remember, at the end of the day, God is sovereign. He is still God. He is God, and he knows what's best for us. And, you know, I think we get bogged down when we think, oh, this is what I want. These are my preferences. And we forget it's not about our preferences. It's about God's purposes.
Amen. Amen.
We got to settle it. Settle it in our hearts that it might not turn out the way we want it to. The Bible tells us that God's thoughts are not like ours. He doesn't think the way we do.
That's right.
His thoughts are so much higher than ours, we can't even fathom. We can't even begin to comprehend why God does what he does or how he thinks the way he thinks. We just have to remember. We have to remember that we aren't here for God to wait on us. We are here to serve him.
Come on, y'all got to get that. We got a bunch of people walking around thinking it's God's job just to do whatever we want him to do. That ain't the deal.
No, you know, the very breath in our lungs God gave us. So he doesn't owe us anything.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't love us.
Yeah,
remember that.
Right.
He does love us. It just means that we have to keep the right perspective about that.
Yep.
God doesn't do things always the way we would want him to do it or the way we're hoping he'll do it. Because, y'all, it ain't about us.
Yeah.
This life ain't about you.
Yeah.
Sooner you and I get that, the sooner we can actually live the kind of life God's really called us to live. Once we get that, this life is not about you.
That's the key.
We have to remember that, Pastor Karen already said it, we serve God, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Remember now, we serve, but hear me. God loves us so much because he is a loving father.
Yeah.
Even though we're here to serve him, and I've said this many times, and I'll say it again, there's nothing you will ever give, and Jesus said this once also, there's nothing you will ever give, sacrifice, whatever you want to call it, that will ever compare to what God gives you. Ever.
That's true. And he knows what we need.
God knows. Yeah.
He knows what we need.
You know, Brandon, if you want to come, some of you may be old enough to remember that old Garth Brooks song, the old philosopher Garth Brooks, who once said, "I thank God for unanswered prayers." He said that in a song once. Anybody old enough to remember that song? Go Google it, look it up. But that was one of the lines in that song. "I thank God for unanswered prayers." You know, there's some things, some prayers, some things you're asking God to do that he may never do. Now, I could say in some cases that might be because he has something better for you, and I believe that full-heartedly. That very well might be true. But sometimes now, there are reasons that we don't know and that we will never know. We have to understand that sometimes God just isn't going to do what you're asking him to do. And we have to learn to be okay with that.
Yeah, that is easier said than done, learning to be okay with that. But if you don't waste the waiting period, if you stay in that waiting period, that's a chance to actually build your faith and your trust in God so that you can be okay with never getting what you've been waiting for. That's an opportunity. And I know what this is like, y'all. I'm not going to sit up here and ever preach something to you that I haven't already walked through, really. I've been living with chronic pain for a long time, almost 20 years. Chronic pain. And I don't take drugs because I used to be an alcoholic, so I don't do drugs like that. So I deal with the pain. And I've been praying and I've been asking God, can you please take away this pain? It has changed me in some places in my heart. It is a constant battle with my heart in this pain, y'all. But, you know, I've had surgery to try to help relieve some of that pain. I had surgery in my neck and it helped. But now pain is coming up in all these other places. And I'm like, oh, really, God, what is going on here? And I'm waiting and I'm praying. And you know what? I've had to lean on God in ways that I've never leaned on him before. Because I can't do what I used to could do. I just can't do it anymore. I physically can't do it. It doesn't matter how much exercise I do, that pain is still there. So you know what God has done in his goodness and his faithfulness and in his love? He has sent people in my life who encourage me. I have a sister right now. She's not my biological sister, but she's my sister from another mister. And she encourages me. She knows exactly when to reach out to me when I'm struggling the most. She is a mighty kingdom warrior. She's in charge of y'all's kids here, so thank God for her. She is a mighty, mighty prayer warrior that God has sent into my life to encourage me in those moments when the pain is really hard. And I'm asking him, hello, why are you not taking this away? He's not answering me like that, y'all, because he's saying, I got somebody in mind who I want her to encourage you because I'm doing something in her.
Wow, that's so good.
This ain't about you.
So good.
You're going to be all right. We got to get to that point where we can trust God.
Amen. My friends, God may never answer some of the prayers that you're praying right now. You've got to learn to be okay with that. And know that He still loves you. His plans for your life are still good. Never forget that God always, and I do mean always, has your best interests in mind. You see, God's thinking about your eternity, not just your here and now. And the good news, I got some good news for you. While you're waiting, God is working. He is working. And His word says that He's actually working in all things. Romans 8:28 reminds us of this, that God is always at work for the good. Hear me now. God is always at work for the good of everyone that loves Him. If you love God, He's working for you, and He always will be. Now, it doesn't say in that scripture that He's working to give you exactly what you want. That's not what that scripture says. But it does say that God is working for your good. That's what it says. So while you're waiting, praise the name of God. Thank Him for what He's already done and what He is continuing to do in your life. Can we give God some thanks right now for what He's doing in your life right now? I know you may not have everything that you've prayed for yet. I know you may not have it all yet. But listen, while you're waiting, lean into God and let Him strengthen your heart while you wait. Will you pray with me right now? Oh God, right now there are so many of us here in this room and those within the sound of my voice that have been crying out to You, God, asking You to move on our behalf, to right the wrongs, to heal the hurts, to bring increase and influence in our lives, to restore what's been stolen in so many ways, perhaps our innocence or love or hope. And God, encourage us today, right now in this place and in this moment, show us Your strength, Your might, and God, let us feel Your intense love for us. We love You, Father. We honor You. We give You all of the glory that You so rightly deserve. God, You are sovereign, and we understand that, Lord. So God, help us build our faith. Teach us to trust You even when we think You're silent. Teach us to trust You for more on a deeper level. And God, in all of it, draw us closer to You. God, we thank You that while we're waiting, oh God, that You are always working. Thank You for that. And God, in our waiting, help us not to waste the time while we wait. In Jesus' name. Now listen, with every eye still closed, every head still bowed, we've been talking a lot today about our waiting on God, but right now, there's some people in here whose God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to take this opportunity to make Jesus, His one and only Son, the Lord of your life. If you've never done that before, God's waiting for you right now. He's putting out an opportunity for you to do that very thing today. So if that's you today and you're ready to answer the call, God's waiting. And it's just a simple prayer. And I'd ask everybody, even if you've already made this declaration, you've been a follower of Jesus for one day or 50 years, will you just pray this all together so that we can support maybe the one person who may be doing this for the first time? Would you just say this with me? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me and to wash me clean. Come into my heart, Lord. Today, I make you the Lord and the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.